Morning, everybody. My name's Simon. I'm the associate vicar here. It's a great pleasure to welcome you here this morning as well, and particularly if you're visiting. You may not recognize me. I'm fairly new here myself. I'm the new associate vicar, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you. We're going to come to a time now where we look at the Bible and think about what God wants to speak to us today. So our first reading is from Matthew chapter 13. I'm starting from verse 24. That's on page 979. That's 979 in the Pew Bibles. It's the parable of the weeds. Great. The parable of the weeds, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And we're going to keep dropping down to verse 36 on the next page as well. It says, I always like Jesus' parables because some of them he explains a bit later as well. So this is an explanation of that parable we've just had. So looking at verse 36. Then he left the crowd, that's Jesus, and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear." Amen. So we're going to think about that parable this morning. And I don't know about you, but I'm not much of a gardener. I enjoy gardens very much. I love nature very much, but I'm not really much of a gardener. What I am, though, is a musician. And there's an equivalent of weeds that gardeners have the pain of, and that's cables. As musicians, I'm constantly sorting out my cables. They're always in a jumble. I have to try and tidy them up all the time. And so I'm doing a modern retelling of this parable, really, a musician's perspective rather than a gardener's one. So I thought the good seeds, you know, Jesus, the Son of Man, he is the one that sows the good seed. Our faith, if you like, our lives in Christ, that's going to be represented by this white cable. That's the good seed, or the wheat, if you like, in our parable this morning. But then if you look at that passage as well, do keep them open, I've got it up here somewhere as well. That's the wheat. But then there's an enemy as well who comes in and sows weeds in the garden. Or for the musician, that's going to be this dark cable here that is just tangled and mangled, a bit like sin, a bit like evil. That's what that represents as well. And Jesus teaches in this parable that both coexist, don't they? We both have good people in this life, people that are following Jesus and full of faith, and those who do not know him yet, who are caught up in a world of sin. And all of us sin from time to time. So remember, my white cable, my weed, my wheat here is represented by this one. As we grow and go through life, we end up either through our own deliberate fault or just by hanging out with the wrong crowd at school, or just getting woven into difficult circumstances in life, we can end up in a bit of a tangled mess. you can see that now my life in many ways is tangled up. I do some good things, I do some bad things. That's what it's like. That's the reality of the world we live in. And we've got two ways that we try and sort this out. We can even try and sort it out yourselves. I don't know whether why is it that our shoelaces are always in a knot when we're in a hurry? Have you ever noticed that? You've got to try and untie them. And we get in a hurry and we get even more, and it gets even more jumbled up and it gets even more constricted when we try and sort our old problems out. And we end up in a worse mess than when we first started. Some of us, I do this from time to time too, we'll just say, okay, well look, what I'll do then is I'm going to put my game face on. I'm going to put all my troubles into a box like this. And I'll pretend that nobody else can see what's really going on in my life. I'll show them a nice good bit. This is my Sunday face. This is the face I'll show you because I'm ashamed of the stuff that's in the box. And we can get terrified, can't we, about what's in the box. But we'll show some good things, but we don't want to show the bad stuff. And that's natural enough, you know, we all do it. But actually, that's not much of a game plan, is it? I don't know about you, but Advent is a bit of a terrifying time. Being thrown into a burning furnace and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, that sort of imagery that Jesus is using, I don't know about you, but that petrifies me. And I think it should petrify us. And Advent is traditionally a season of preparation. That's why we're lighting the candles, because we're expecting Jesus to come back again. And Jesus says when he does come back, in our parable this morning, that's the harvest time, there's going to be judgment. And on judgment day, the stuff we've been keeping in our box, well, that's going to come. And God sees through it anyway. That's why I've got a clear box. So we're not fooling God just by putting it in a box. But on judgment day, all of this junk we've been hiding away, as well as the good stuff, but some of the junk, that's going to be exposed. And Jesus teaches that in this parable that the grey cable or the weed is going to be burned up, and what will be left will be those who have had faith in Jesus. So not much of an option then, is it? We either get ourselves into a really tangled mess, or we hide it in a box, but neither of those is going to solve the problem when Jesus does come back again. What a desperate situation we're in. But the good news, this is the good news, is that God has not abandoned us to this state. Jesus is the light of the world, and he comes to clear up that mess in our lives. That's why he came. At Christmas we say Emmanuel. That's one of the names we use for God. And that word means God with us. God hasn't abandoned us. Just like Kathleen was praying, God in Christ has come and experienced the world. He knows what it is to see the world in a mess. But he's come to sort it out. And so what are we to do? Well, we can't hide our stuff in a box because God sees that anyway. We can't sort out our own mess because we get more tangled up. What is the answer then? And that's why I'm going to read again from another passage, which is from Hebrews. And this is what it says in Hebrews. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And this is the key verse for today. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So we can't hide our junk in a box. We can't untangle the mess ourselves. The only way we can untangle that mess is by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And because he came in Jesus and lived and died and rose again, he lived among us. He has defeated sin. So he is able to untangle the mess. So as we fix our eyes on Jesus, that's exactly what happens. And it means we come to him on bended knee and a surrendered heart. And we say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong." It's what we call repentance. Please, will you have mercy on me? Will you help me untangle the mess that I've got myself into? Perhaps that's stuff we've done deliberately. Perhaps it's stuff we've done unintentionally. Perhaps it's stuff we've left undone, unsaid that we could have said and done. But as we focus on Jesus, he separates our lives more and more from the mess. And this is why we have such great news, is because he takes the sin, he defeated that at the foot of the cross, it's done, it's finished, it's over, so that when we come to the cross, our lives are no longer woven into a web of sin and darkness, but because Jesus is the light of the world, now our lives are woven into his life when we come to the cross. We receive forgiveness. We're washed clean by his blood. Wonderful news. Because if we're woven into his death on the cross, when we come to him and we say sorry, we receive that forgiveness. And because we're woven into his death, we're also woven into his resurrection. So that when judgment day does come, and it will come, and it will be terrifying, it's right to be afraid of that. But the good news is that we're not left in that place. If we're woven into the death of Christ on the cross, we're also woven into his resurrection, which means when judgment day, when the harvest does come, well then, we are forgiven. And we enjoy eternal life with God forevermore, where there's no more pain or sickness, death or crying or mourning, but joy, because we are reunited with God, which is the way we've always designed to be. So what does that mean for us today? Well, it's good news, isn't it? Really good news. What it means is, let's not try and sort out our own mess, because we just end up in more of a mess. Let's not hide our baggage away in a box and just pretend that it's going to be okay, because that's not going to be the answer either. What I suggest is that we find an appropriate way. Maybe you've got a trusted friend, or you can come and speak to Stephen and I, and perhaps there's stuff going on. It doesn't have to be big, heavy stuff. It could just be stuff that's getting in the way with your relationship with God. We would love to pray with you. Or find a trusted Christian friend, or a small group leader, a mature Christian who can pray with you. God will often speak through them and to encourage you to walk a life of righteousness, to follow how Jesus would have us live our lives, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what that looks like. What also does it mean? Well, as we've seen, we've got great news to share. We need to show the world, because the harvest is coming. It is coming. And we have that good news to share. So do pray using those service times and think, well, perhaps this person could really use hearing some good news. And just drop the invite. If they want to come, great. If they don't worry about it. Ask someone else. But do ask, because the harvest time is coming and we do need to share that good news. And as I was preparing this talk, I thought that maybe even today there are people here that aren't sure that their lives are wrapped around the death of Jesus in this way. And if you're not sure about this, then please come and speak to me before you leave, because this is the best news you're ever going to hear, and I'd love to share that with you. So if you're not 100% confident that your life is woven into the death and resurrection of Jesus, then I would love to pray with you. Don't leave today without receiving prayer. So as we think about being prepared, as we await Christ's second coming, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us be confident in his death and resurrection and the forgiveness we receive there. And let's go out as lights of the world to go and help people untangle the mess in the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, we know that there is a harvest time coming. But we praise you because you've not left us and abandoned us. But Emmanuel, God with us, you have come and you have showed us that there is an answer. And that is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I want to pray for anyone here who isn't 100% sure in that death and what that means, that you would give them courage, either to come and explore what that means through Christianity Explored, or to come and pray with a trusted friend or with myself. And Lord, would you give us courage to go out into the world where we do see so much mess, and would you help us to share that good news that it doesn't have to stay that way, but that Jesus has come to sort out the mess. So give us courage just to ask that friend along to a service or to have that chat. And would you make our paths cross that we can share that good news of Jesus with others. And we ask that in his precious name. Amen.